You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Christopher Wallace.
You can't train people to love your brand. You have to do it in another way. You have to energize and excite them and reach them and, frankly, move them and motivate them in a different way.
Christopher is the co-founder and president of Interview, which is a marketing consulting firm that helps companies align their brands and product strategies with their customer-facing representatives. Prior to Interview, Mr. Wallace has had previous success as an entrepreneur in the sales consulting and coaching space. He has nearly 20 years of experience in sales, marketing, and corporate leadership. Chris's primary professional focus is to help companies better align the strategies of the boardroom with their customer experience. Chris, welcome to On Brand.
Nick, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
You know, I am excited to chat with you because that primary focus that you talk about is one that I think is so key. We I have to be careful because I was going to say interviews, but I don't want to confuse it with your company name, which is Interview. But most of our interviews, lowercase INV, here on the show, focus on the act of brand building. And I think a critical step in implementing that is taking everything that you talk about, as your well-worded bio just noted, in all these carefully constructed meetings and PowerPoint presentations in the boardroom, bringing them to life with the people that are out there on the front lines. That's missed a lot, I find. Do you find the same?
We do. And we always say we're like the BASF of branding. We don't make the brand. We don't build the brand story. We just make it better and we help it come to life. We find that it is a real challenge. And when we talk about brand, we think of brand in really in a broad sense. It's really anything you're bringing to market, any message that you're putting out there. This could be a new product. It could be a new service. It could be a new campaign or promotion. It doesn't always have to be a rebrand or a merger. It doesn't have to be something, you know, super foundational to that brand, that overall brand identity. We think of brand as anything that you're bringing to market to your customers. And we just find organizations struggling to connect, like you said, that strategy, the people who got in the whiteboard room at the corporate office and came up with the concept, to the people who actually have to go out there and execute it. The link just, they struggle to build that link.
So I think that's fascinating, especially your BASF analogy. So in many cases, you're not working on some of the brand building work that's come before. It's a baton handoff that's taken place.
100%. Yeah, we really don't build the brand messaging. We try to stay in our lane and know what we are good at. If somebody were to ask me, and I've had people ask me before, what's your superpower? What is it that you're really an expert at? And my business partners and I all have the exact same answer for that. We're translators. We're professional translators. We can take the vision for marketing, what marketing wants to deliver, that promise that they are building to deliver to the customer, and help the internal audience. We market to internal audiences. Their needs are different. Their motivations are different. Their language is different. And we understand that audience very, very well. We don't understand CPG brand building, but we do understand how to connect with those people internally So we translate that vision into something that they can digest and understand, because we want what comes out of their mouth in front of the customer to be as close to what the brand built as possible. But you can't just take what you're putting on a billboard and put it up as a poster in a call center or a retail store and expect that there's going to be a connection, because the way you talk to your customers is different than the way you talk to your employees in many ways. In some ways it's the same and it needs to be more the same, but in a lot of ways it really is different.
I have to chuckle a bit there, because that poster thing happens.
We have a client right now who told us we are great, and this is a brand that spends several hundred million dollars on consumer advertising and marketing, several hundred million. And we have a really important stakeholder there who told us we're great at coming up with the copy that goes on a billboard, but when it comes time to get that in front of a call center employee, we somehow can't make that link. And that's where we come in.
Well, I like the idea, the other analogy that you mentioned about being professional translators. And how does your work with organizations present itself? Do you find yourself that people see this coming and realize that this is going to be a key step that we need to make sure we have a plan for, and they call upon your team at interview? Or do they realize after the fact, wow, we've stumbled going out of the gate, something was lost in the translation?
Nick, that's a really great question. I would say that 2 years ago, I would have said it was definitely more of the cleaning up a mess after they launch something and they realize that they're struggling to get traction. We are seeing a really significant shift with the people that we talk to, and recognizing that this is something that you have to get out ahead of. Organizations are making tremendous investments to bring new products, new experiences, new things to market, to connect with their customers and serve their customers. And the time, effort, and investment that goes into doing that is tremendous. And I think people are recognizing, I say people, depends on who you're talking to, but the marketers that we talk to are recognizing that they can't afford to let things fall on the cutting room floor anymore, right? They don't want to have to worry about going back and sweeping up messes. You waste a lot of money and you waste a lot of time. What we're really helping them to do is shrink that window to really get something out there and make it productive by making sure that their frontline teams are on board from day one. So that's a long answer, but the short answer is we're seeing that shift from, we'll figure it out if we screw it up, to now we know we're going to screw it up because we do the same thing every time. Let's get out ahead of it this time.
So you talk about that success on day one. What are some of the, I'm sure there are many steps, but what are some of the key steps that lead to a successful launch on day one?
Well, I mean, so I think that the advice that we give people and sort of the approach that we take is, if you want to reach any audience, you have to have a dialogue with that audience. And marketers know that from the work that they do in reaching their customers. But what we do is we do research on the front end. We have a tool called the Brand Transfer Score and the Brand Transfer Study. And essentially what this is, Nick, it's we took a market research tool, a tool that was built on market research principles. And we worked with a company who developed it and said, why couldn't we take the methodology through which you gather insights on a brand from consumers and then use that, tweak it, optimize it, but use it for the internal audiences? And they said, their answer was, well, we never thought of that, but there's no reason why you couldn't. So what we do is we really think about it as market research. We look at these audiences internally as a segment of your marketing strategy. We gather feedback from them, and the feedback really is on the fundamentals of the brand story and the brand message. And we're able to tell an organization, you know what your customers think of you. You spend a lot of money to invest in insights on your customers. We're going to bring you insights on what your people think of your brand or your product. And what we're able to do with that is paint a picture of, if you want your customer to hear one thing, well, let's measure what they're likely to hear from your people based on the way that they sort of rate your brand on various aspects. And we can come back to them and say, when I talk about our translation process, what's a better way to translate than to truly understand the audience that you're trying to reach and be able to take the messaging that's going outside to customers and merge it in with this point of view that your people have and come up with something that's going to resonate with them. So the first thing we would say is you've got to ask your people. If you want to move them, find out where they are right now and figure out what your starting point is.
I think that those are such key steps to get to the right place. And again, key steps yet so often missed in the work that we do. So on the other side of that, how do you know that it is, I don't want to say a successful day one, because day one is a tricky day to measure success, but how do you know when you've nailed this? It seems like it's something that's, it's sort of you can intuitively know or see in customer interactions in that dialogue, but are there metrics on the other side of that?
It's a lot easier to measure it when you're going in and doing a cleanup job, like you mentioned before. It's a lot easier when your baseline is poor performance and you can go in and you can say, well, this was how you were performing. Now you're performing better now. For organizations that don't want to waste that time and don't want to go through that pain of getting to the cleanup and the relaunch, we see a lot of relaunches with the companies that we work with and the prospects we're talking to. So it is a little harder to measure it on the front end, but I can give you one example. When we do our brand transfer study process, we do remeasures over time. So a lot of times what we're doing is if we're in for day one support, call it day one support for that launch, we do sort of a pre-launch brand transfer study. And that gives us a baseline of, before they know anything about this new initiative or this new message or this new product, what do they generally think about how the company is serving this category right now? So we understand sort of what their general point of view and the general perception is of how the company's doing. And then we can remeasure it afterward. And in one case, we did all the work for the day one, and then we did a brand transfer study right before the program launched. In that instance, we had the best alignment score. The output of this is it's an alignment score. It is how aligned are the corporate team and their viewpoint, corporate team and their viewpoint with the people at the front lines. The best alignment score we ever had was right around a launch. So what we're able to do is say, okay, we can come back to them with a metric and say, you started here, we went through this whole process, and now we're about to launch, and you are this close to being in alignment. We're able to give them a leading indicator of what type of success they're likely to have. And fortunately, very quickly out of the gates, they started to see, well, for this conference or this show that we just had, our sales were 6x what they normally are. So their reference point really does become what they did in the past, and they can look at it and say, well, we've never had a launch that went this well, or we never sold this much at this show before, or whatever their metrics are. But it's really comparing it to past initiatives and where they've tripped up, as opposed to really being able to do a true before and after analysis with this initiative. But it's good because they don't waste the time and having to go back and figure out what to fix.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So I want to back up just a little bit here, because this is such an interesting inflection point in bringing brands to life, and one that we talk about the importance of on the podcast here. But in building a business and seeing the need, how did your career bring you to this very interesting point? I mean, really, you talk about your background in marketing and sales, and it seems like it is the kind of the point of convergence of those two disciplines?
Yeah, it definitely is. A lot of trial and error is the short answer. but the really what it came down to was there's a tremendous amount of value in having some time to stop and think, and it's something that many of us rarely have a chance to do. But when you read my bio, you mentioned that I had previously had a sales consulting and coaching practice, and I sold that business and was working with the organization that I sold that practice to. And we found ourselves in a spot, Nick, where we were considered sales effectiveness. Okay. And sales effectiveness is the 2019 phrase for sales training, basically. It's an evolved thinking around sales training. And we were in conversations with sales leaders and training teams, and we were competing against we were competing against other companies for work and losing deals to companies that we didn't even feel like should even be in the same conversation that we were having. And it's like if we're losing deals to companies that we don't even think are competitors to us, something's off here. And one of my business partner and I, who sold that business, we left that organization and we literally took some time. The precious time to stop and think and say, what have we done in the past that's worked? Who have we liked working with the most? Who was the most eager for this type of help? And we started looking at it, and all roads for us led back to, this is not a sales challenge. Sales is a key part of this conversation. This is not a sales skills or a sales a problem necessarily. It's a brand and marketing problem. The brand and marketers are the ones investing in the product development, investing in building their brand story, and then spending a lot of money to tell that brand story to customers. And what we found was, especially in the consumer space, which is primarily where we play, in the consumer space, the disconnect really was company is telling customer one thing and customer is hearing something different. And rather than try to go to the sales organization and tell them a story about brand and disconnect and messaging, we're like, it wasn't that we were having the wrong conversation, we were having it with the wrong audience. And we have found that the marketing teams are much more, I think, willing and interested in talking about the pain that they have here, whereas on the sales side, it really is truly execution focused. But now we sit in a spot where we're serving a need that the marketing team has because they realize what a challenge this is if they're spending all this money and the message isn't getting through. But then also sales, who's looking for innovative tools from their marketing partners to be able to get out and tell this message. It's just not typically sales that's going to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm going to invest in a completely new way of providing support to our people. So it really was, I say trial and error, but that's truly what it was. It took losing a bunch of deals to people we didn't think were true competitors to realize it was right conversation, wrong audience.
That's, I think, so key. And when we, having been a part of teams that were marketing teams that worked with sales teams of sales and marketing teams, I mean, that's kind of the word of the hour in this conversation is this idea of alignment. But I think it's really the kind of dual meanings there, because I think that beyond that, the alignment between the marketing and sales team for that better win organizationally, execution-wise, is a major outcome, but it's a mountain we don't often know how to climb or where to even start.
It's true. To use another analogy, we always talk about that disconnect in sort of the messaging and that disconnect between marketing and sales. It's sort of become the chronic pain that organizations have learned to live with, right? It's not the shooting pain in your leg or whatever the case may be. It's not the acute pain, it's that chronic pain. And people have sort of learned to manage through it and learn to live with it. And I think that I truly believe we are reaching a moment where the idea of the brand and the scope and influence of brand within especially large organizations is growing, and the influence of the marketing team is growing. And these organizations are realized, especially the marketing departments, that that pain is becoming more acute. They are realizing how much they're actually sacrificing if they are not trying to, I mean, let's be honest, it doesn't matter how big of an organization you are. You need to win conversation. You need to win sales, and you need to win customers one conversation at a time. There's great brands that understand that and are really good at it. I always talk about, you know, local headquarters of Subaru USA. Subaru does a good job with that of helping their people win, you know, each conversation around their brand and truly understanding who they are and what message they're delivering. But I think more organizations are realizing that to stand out, especially in a commoditized era and you know, a lot of product parity and people can get things from a lot of different places, that you have to win one conversation at a time.
Well, and it's tricky because I definitely agree with that notion that the idea of brand is growing in organizations, and I think sometimes that can be confining and hard to execute and build upon when it's confined only to the marketing department, when that marketing department has a history of being somewhat insular in nature. I mean, we can get siloed. Marketing people are kind of off in their marketing cave sometime, and aren't connecting with other areas in the company as effectively as they can be, and that, you know, is difficult to bring that idea that you're talking about to life, about the idea, the potential that leading with brand can deliver.
It's absolutely true. I think that, you know, what you're talking about there really hits to the core of why most organizations struggle with this, right? Why does this disconnect really exist? And I think that, and that's actually something that we get asked a lot by prospective clients. Well, why do you think organizations struggle with this? And we think the biggest reason why is marketing departments, brand teams are used to relying on other, like you said, silos, other parts of the organization to take their story, to take that baton and pass it off to somebody else. And the challenge is, organizations keep saying, we were with a client this week and they said, you know, we got to train our people, we got to train our people. And what we're finding is organizations keep doubling down. The biggest reason they're struggling is they keep doubling down on the same tactics. When something's not working, when they're not getting through to their people, what do? They do more of the thing that got them to the point where they're saying it's not working. And they think it's because they're not doing enough of it. And I really will use training as that example. They say, well, we're not doing enough training. And the reality is, we believe most organizations are struggling, not because they're not doing enough training, but they're not realizing that there is a supplement to training that's needed. And that's where we look at the marketing departments and say, you are having this extremely dynamic conversation with your customers through digital channels, through advertisements, through all sorts of social networks. You're having this tremendously dynamic conversation with your customers. You want them to love your brand. And at the same time, the way that you are communicating, we've done research on this, the way that you are trying to drive that message down to the people who work for you is emails and product trainings. So you think about the dynamic nature of the conversation with the customer and the, in my mind, very outdated and static in one way flow of communication out to their teams through product training and emails being the two primary channels that they use. And we truly believe that the bolt-on that's needed here is for marketing to take what they do so well with the customers, which is reaching them in this dynamic way, and leverage that creativity and that excitement. You can't train people to love your brand. You have to do it in another way. You have to energize and excite them and reach them and, frankly, move them and motivate them in a different way. So we really strongly encourage and challenge marketers to take what they're so good at and do it on their own people. Don't rely on just training. Is training necessary? Yes. But the reason why the disconnect exists is organizations double down on the things that are not working. They spend more, they invest more time, and they just keep throwing information at the problem, and it's not working.
Amen. I love that you can't train people to love your brand and thinking a little bit differently about something that we need to be doing more of. That's a key point not to miss. Speaking of things not to miss, as we begin to wrap up our time together, Chris, it is time to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, Nick, I'm glad to say that I actually have a very good and very recent one that I can share. And I eventually we'll share this episode with them. But my team and I were in the Atlanta area this week. We have a handful of clients in the state of Georgia, and we did a whole Peachtree State run this week. And we all converged upon one hotel. It was a Fairfield Inn right near the Atlanta airport. We were all over the state, so that just happened to be a central place for us to stay. And I have to say, it was not the most expensive hotel that I've ever stayed in. The people there were so outrageously kind and genuine and warm and thoughtful and helpful. I cannot possibly heap enough praise on what I experienced with the staff at this Fairfield Inn. And I know that not all, you know, hotel locations are company owned. I don't know if this was a franchise location or a company owned location, but I can say that my bang for the buck at the Fairfield Inn at the Atlanta airport this week was just beyond what I ever could have expected. And my hat's off to that team. But I'm truly moved. Like, we're obviously in the brand and customer experience business, so our antenna is always up on this. But when we talk about how to reach your people and how to get them on brand, people always say, "Oh, well, we've got so many locations; it's so hard," or, you know, it's such a challenge to get people on the same page. We're so big; we might as well just throw our hands up in the air and not try, right? That becomes the take. But I can say, no matter what type of brand that you work for, somehow Fairfield Inn is getting the message down to that location that treating people with warmth and kindness and truly genuinely engaging them, everybody from the housekeeping staff that I bumped into walking through the hall to the person that was cleaning outside the restroom to all the front desk staff to the person in the breakfast area, they were on brand. And I've stayed at a lot more expensive hotels that that can't say that same thing. So I was truly delighted by the experience there this week.
That's an amazing story and a great culmination of everything that we've talked about here in the interview about bringing that to life and yeah, even overcoming what some of those obstacles might be, especially in the world of hotels, hospitality, where you've got different places spread all over the place. And but yeah, it's great to see it actually getting through. So, Chris, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do that I'm sure they're even more fascinated by after this conversation here?
So so you set me up earlier by saying that we are Innerview, I-N-N-E-R, innerviewgroup.com is our website. And again, that's I-N-N-E-R-V-I-E-W, not interview, but Innerview. And interviewgroup.com is the best place to learn more about our organization. For me personally, I'm very active on LinkedIn. Chris Wallace is the handle name. But as you can imagine, that's a very common name. I'm in the Philadelphia area. So if you do try to find me on LinkedIn, make sure that you're looking in the greater Philadelphia area, and you'll find me there.
Well, we will make it easy for everyone by putting links to both your LinkedIn and interviewgroup.com at onbrandpodcast.com as well. Chris, thanks for being on brand with us.
Nick, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
And if you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. For more on me, including how you can sign up for my email newsletter, please visit nickwestergaard.com. Since we're spelling things out, that's Westergaard with two A's. Until next week, I am Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.